like,
yeah, you could look at me.
Or like, if I just like stare, like,
you know. Yeah, you can stare wherever you want. It doesn't matter.
Yes,
you stare. Yeah, you could stare at me a little bit, like, but not too much.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
not too much where I have to like noogie you. You know.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the Douche Dad podcast. This is Anthony. What do you go by, like, media wise?
That's a good question, because I don't think we're real formal with our names right now.
We're not super formal with the names.
We don't really know each other.
Not at all.
We'll figure it out. Victorson is my name.
Okay, so Anthony Victorson on Instagram, right?
On all platforms.
All platforms. You have Facebook?
I do.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So yeah, he's on Facebook too. The comedians out here all have Facebooks, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to get into that. I don't really have a Facebook anymore. And I was like, there's nothing on there for me.
If you don't have a Facebook now, you don't need to get into it. This is the worst time for Facebook. So.
Yeah, that's the whole problem that to get more out there, it might help, you know, but I don't know if those four viewers I really need, you know?
You'll get a lot of cool bot friends.
Dude, those are the best people to talk to in your messages.
Yeah, it'll make you look like you have 1,500 friends.
Whoa, I need some 1,500 make a look friends. I was actually thinking of buying followers on Instagram. My girl was like, you should just buy followers. And I'm like, that's not a bad idea.
Just create a Facebook.
I can get on the Las Vegas Beach Club cruise if I have like 1,500. I don't need good jokes. I just need fucking fake people to follow me.
It is harder to get Instagram followers, but I haven't. I don't know. I think Instagram, they cut out where you can see what other people are liking. I think that's the way to get followers. If you just start spam liking everybody else's pictures, eventually, you know, you type in like comedy hashtag.
Yes.
You like every picture, and then eventually you'll get like 2 followers.
That's actually how I met my wife. Is she liked all my photos. So I was one of the bots, bro. So she liked all my photos, and then I'm like, oh, this girl wants some. And then I messaged her, and she's like, I don't even know who you are. And I'm like, well, you liked all my photos. You must want to go out with me. And then I found out, I don't know, 10 years later that she's like, no, I just did that to everyone. And I just didn't feel special now. I feel not special now.
You're like, oh, I really took a risk with that.
Yeah,
you out.
Exactly. You're hot. And I thought I was hot.
That's a good tip to our lady friends. If you like any of my photos, I'm going to think that you want to marry me. So.
Or if you even look at my stories.
For sure.
And if I look at the analytics and it says back one person, you're that one person, okay? It might not say you are, but you're that one person.
Do you check every person that looks at your Instagram story?
Occasionally. I'll do, depends on, like, if I do one, then maybe I'll look at it. Like, if it's a lot of people looking at it, I'm like, oh, man, are these the people from my hometown, or do I actually have a fan?
Right. Yeah, so that's the only time I check it, is when I'm looking for a specific person.
Yes.
That I want to watch.
That I want to click on her profile just once.
The whole reason I did the video.
I'm targeting this one person, and I will not DM, but I will, I'll throw it out in the universe.
The only reason I came over here to do this podcast is so that they could view my story.
Just to retweet the story. I just like his photo. Dude, let me get into it. I'm clearly offended by you bringing jokes to the dive bar. That offends me.
Fuck yeah.
Dude, it offended me so much. I'm like, this guy's bringing jokes? He wrote jokes during COVID?
Dude, I just want to say thank you, first of all, for recognizing that.
Yeah.
Because none of the audience recognized that. It's weird when you're at an open mic and, you know, people are doing polished jokes, and then you just go up there with all new material, and you're like, oh yeah, people are going to recognize that this is new material, and they're going to appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you just stumble through new material, and they thank you.
And you also said, this is new material. I was like, this guy brought new material. He's a savage.
Oh, I made sure to tell everybody.
When is the unemployment going to run out for these fucks? Because I'm really angry, because there's just more white dudes that look like us at the open mic now, and it makes me furious, dude.
Well, that's a good point, because, okay, all right, so I'm not, if you didn't write jokes, but you have a job, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're in quarantine, you have a job. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are on unemployment right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they still don't write jokes.
And they didn't bring anything new to the table. And it's like, why? What are we doing here? I mean,
I thought it would thin out the herd, but the herd is fucking Caucasian, and I'm annoyed by it.
That's true. And you're totally right. If you have a job, I don't fault you.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a job and you're on unemployment, you should have brought new jokes.
I brought new jokes. So I did Boulder City. And then the problem was I dropped all my material in Boulder. And then I was like, oh, okay. So I got to do more material, brought more material to Boulder, brought that material back to Dive Bar. And then I was like, I'm doing material and there's no point. There's no one is listening. So let me just like have a banter with Randall. Randall is the host. Randall Crabmeat. Great. Funniest dude. Probably I've ever met at an open mic. Hands down.
Randall's a great open mic comedian because he'll tell you like it is. You know what I mean?
100%.
And Dive Bar is the same way. Like, it's going to be interesting that Dive Bar is our only open mic right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just, I think it's going to change people's comedy styles because, you know, we're going to have to somehow figure it out how to make people laugh at Dive Bar.
Dude, I've been going to Dive Bar for 3 years now, right? I started. That's
good for you. Good for you.
Yes. I took a little break there just to get just my dignity back a little. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's the Dive Bar, man. I love it, man. I love it because I the first place I ever did stand up at was at across the street at the Hawaiian. It was a Hawaiian barbecue place with a bar. Okay. Across the street.
I wasn't around there.
Yeah. There was only three people there. And then I brought two of my friends. And so I went up there. Do you know the guy that like doesn't like Trump but looks like he likes Trump? He wears like a baseball kit.
I know exactly.
Exactly. He's always at Noreen's, right?
I think
he secretly likes Trump, but he just does it for the act.
Dude. Are you talking about the dude with the beard?
I think he has a beard. He's just an old guy, dude. He's just a really not that dude. The dude that does poems, dude. No, not that guy.
Yeah.
He looks like he would be called Timmy for some reason.
You're talking about King Tamer?
Yeah. No, I'm talking this guy that wears like the baseball and he wears like a hat that says "Make America Not Great" because Trump sucks or something. But he was there. He was at the first thing and he bombed. And then and then one other dude that looks exactly like you but just a fatter version of you, which is weird. He was there. I don't know. I think he moved away. But he was there. And then it was just me and my two friends. And I go up there and my two friends are like, yeah, comedy's great, dude. You have you kind of look like a comedian up there. And I was like, what are my jokes? They're like, we're in the back. We didn't hear them. And I was like, all right, this is the path I want to go down.
You know what? That's a good point, though, because you know what? You do look like a comedian. When I first saw you, I'm like, oh, you know, because that's the white privilege. That's white privilege.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this guy on stage and I said, oh, he has a beard. He's white. He's got a look to him. He's got the Sperry's on.
Correct.
All right. Let's see what he's got to say. Like, at least I'll pay attention to a white guy to start out. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I said, apartments are for poor people.
And then I tuned out. No, and I think I do garner that same like attention. There's some comedians that you like, you know, they have like, I think you do have to have a certain type of look to you.
100%.
You know what I mean? 100%. I think I do have a look to be. I think you do have a look to you.
Yeah. I don't know if it's even a look. I think it's like confidence on stage, you know? I feel like if a person's confident on stage, like I started out and I was like, not super confident. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? And then I'm like, fuck it. I mean, I'll bomb. I don't care anymore. Like, the Las Vegas comedy is like, go up there and bomb and then figure it out. And then go do a feature and then figure out, hey, if you do a feature, wait, people are there to see comedy? Like, what the fuck? This is amazing, right? These jokes that bombed at Dive Bar every single time, like, might get one laugh. This is crazy. So I think that's why I like the open mic, you know? I like the Dive Bar because you can go up there and just hear your voice, you know?
And if you
get a laugh, you feel like you fucking won an Emmy, dude.
Honestly, if you're a white guy at the Dive Bar, if you're a white, douchey, indie-looking guy at the Dive Bar, mm-hmm. you got some balls to be up there because every Nazi in that bar is not looking to listen to you. You know, I don't give a fuck what you guys say.
No. They're in the back just heckling you. they're the what's that biker gang? Did you go to the show before the they like closed down? Did you go to that one?
No,
the Mongols.
No, because I have definitely performed in front of Mongols. So
yes,
that at another bar in downtown Vegas. But yeah, they were front seat, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. I guess
yeah,
the Mongols are here.
They just carry knives on their leather vests, and they're like, dude, that's a pocket knife. It's for your pocket.
They carry knives and they love to laugh. You know?
Yeah. Not if you make fun of their girls. They don't
laugh. No, I didn't do any crowd work.
Yeah, you don't do any crowd work towards the Mongols, dude.
I think I said, hey, I love the Mongols. All right, first joke, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's pretty much how it goes. You gotta say, hey, I love the Mongols. That's how it goes.
Yeah,
yeah, I love your bikes, dude. Your bikes are beautiful.
Don't beat my ass.
Yeah. I have scoliosis.
Yeah, yeah. I'm weak, and I don't think I can beat you in anything. So,
you guys are all poor, aren't you?
Yeah, no. You guys look rich.
Oh man. So I wanted to get into this, which is kind of funny. So I got this message on my phone, and it was from this random dork looking dude.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's why he's douche dad.
Yeah. That's why I'm douche dad. And yeah, this random dork looking dude. And I classify dork looking dudes by just photos. And if you're smiling in your photo and you have like a cool backdrop, you're a dork. But so he was casting for a dating TV show. And this dating TV show, I know nothing about dating TV shows because I have a wife, and it's just hard for me to watch like shows like that are cringe, right? I don't know if you can watch cringe shows.
Oh, I don't talk to me about trash TV because I love it.
Ah, see,
let's not even get into
a 90 Day Fiance.
You know what? I'm VH1 from 2008, so I'm Flavor of Love, Rock of Love,
Rock of Love, dude. Brett Michaels, I met him. Brett Michaels. Great.
Did you really?
Yeah, he did a show, the most embarrassing show in the world. It was the Henderson Plaza, right?
Oh, so he saw him way past his prime.
Way past his prime, dude. And the most embarrassing show, there was maybe 50 people there. So it wasn't even full. It was basically a football field.
That sucks.
Oh, my God. And we paid like $25 a seat. Yeah. Yeah, dude.
That
was great.
I literally just went on YouTube and went on a binge watching of bands that used to be popular and now are playing in pavilions that are like, you know, 50 plus, you know, 50 minus people.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just comp tickets.
Like, I watched like a Bush concert from Bush from Woodstock 99.
Uh-huh.
Probably the coolest band you could ever see.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to Bush 2019, and it's just like, yeah, you want to shoot yourself in the head for the guy. You know what I mean?
I exactly know what you mean. And I was listening to somebody talk about this too, that was a comedian and then in a band. He said that you spend 10 years getting good and you have one good album, just like a comedian spends 10 years, right? Like, what is his name? Richard Pryor spent like 10 years on like one set, right? And he would just do the same fucking set. So
yeah, Richard Pryor sucks.
I disagree with that because he stepped it up later in his life. But it's just like you get good at like this one thing, and then after that, it's like, why should I even try, dude? I'm making millions. Who fucking cares? You know, that's it just like loses kind of the art. You know what I mean?
It's depressing. It's like, oh, are my best jokes the first ones that I've ever written? You know what I mean? Like, because that's exactly Bush the band. Like, they their first album was all of their popular hits.
Yep.
They lived through that. You know, that's what they live on. And they never have made anything as popular. So it's like, oh, yeah, do I have nothing else created to say after?
And I think that's what's cool about comedy is you can kind of work your way through that. You know what I mean? You can kind of like to write a joke. It's way easier to write than writing a song, you know, like a catchy song. And there's so many different aspects to a catchy song than a joke, you know, like, yeah, I just wrote a joke. Oh, man, I want to say it really bad. I wrote it last night and it was just like quick. And I'm like, oh, this is a great joke. I got to get this down. And then some white girl said, that's offensive. And I was like, I can't do that. Like, I just got to be able to say what I got to say, dude. And if it's offensive, make sure it's offensive towards the person it would be offensive to.
Well, dude, the quarantine purge is what I like to call it. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck about being offensive anymore. You know what I mean?
It's I can't.
And if you had a Facebook, you'd see all the vitriol on Facebook. There's no reason to care about what you have to say because everybody's seen it on Facebook now.
Mm-hmm.
All sides hate each other. So say whatever the fuck you gotta say. That's what I'm gonna do coming back from comedy. I don't care who I offend.
This is exactly what we should be doing. Is we should be like the most offensive people right now, right? Are like Legion of Skanks. We were talking about that before. Legion of Skanks, most offensive podcast. Probably the funniest people out of COVID.
Yeah.
100%. There's no one funnier right now.
And to normal people, they aren't offensive. You know who's the most offensive is the 50-year-old, 60-year-old white people right now. You know what I mean?
They're very offensive.
They offend me way more than anything Legion of Skanks has to say. So,
exactly.
And so anything that I have to say funny on stage, I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And we're just trying. You know, if we were like out there, like telling you to your face and stuff, it's like that, then if that's offensive. But if we're just trying to figure something out and try to piece a puzzle together to make something that makes people happy, it's like, come on, eat my butt.
I'm not going up there to be offensive.
No, like 100%.
People go online on Facebook and all these social media websites to be offensive. I'm not going up there to be offensive. I'm going up there to be funny. So yeah,
eat my butt. Yeah, exactly. If you went up there to be offensive, no one would listen to you anyways.
That shouldn't be anybody's goal.
Dude, yeah. Well, I hope somebody, if somebody goes up there to be offensive at Dive Bar, I would love that.
Well, you know, you see it. But,
yeah.
They don't stay.
They don't stay.
That's not the goal.
And when anybody's offensive on stage, you just hear, whoa! You don't hear like one laugh and you're like, ah.
Oh man, I've been as offensive as you could get on a set. I don't know if you've heard all the stories.
No.
Certain things that I almost don't even want to say on a podcast, but it's part of my past and people know about it. I guess we don't know each other well, but I've said some crazy shit on stage. Let's just say that.
And that's okay.
Some crazy shit.
In their words.
Only words. Yeah, I fucked up. My first set, I fucked up royally and said probably, you know what I mean?
I think I actually heard that. I think I was there. Where was it at?
It was at Norveen's.
Yes, I was there. Yes,
oh,
I was
you were there.
There. I was there.
Oh, yeah, if you're there, you were.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Because it was your first show, right?
It was my first ever show.
Exactly. Yeah. So what are we supposed to do?
And I went out there thinking like I'm gonna be the guy that says whatever the fuck I want to say. And I didn't know comedy well, and I made a big mistake that I would never say that word again. But pretty much any other word, you know, I'm willing to say. You know,
the word was diarrhea, and
it was pussy.
Yeah, it was pussy. We don't say pussy.
I only talk about dicks. That's what I learned in comedy.
I was just doing pussy jokes, and it was offensive.
Yeah, not yet.
Dude, I did anybody actually fault you for that?
Well, you know, I immediately apologized to the open mic.
Do you want another beer?
Sure.
Babe, are you out there?
Yeah.
Give me another beer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Give me another beer, baby. Thank you.
His wife's shit. Or his girlfriend's
shit. Yeah, my girlfriend's out there.
Giving him shit.
Yeah, I know. She's. Well, it's a Sunday. It's the middle of the day on a Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. It's after church. We're good.
What were you saying about
you? So did anybody give you faults? No. This is a warm Heineken. Can I have a natty ice out of the fridge, please?
I can
drink it. You want a warm ice?
I'll take a drink.
Okay. Well, I don't have any way to open it. We don't have any way to open this either. Oh, God, this is horrible. I don't have anything to open it. But did anybody actually take fault to you? I don't. You can apologize, and that's fine.
Okay. That's what I did.
Then you're fine.
I immediately...
Thank you, princess.
It was immediate remorse, so I immediately apologized. And and I owned up to it. You know what I mean? And I said, hey,
oh my God, how dare you own up to something?
Yeah, that's not the type. I said, hey, that's not the type of guy I am. And give me another chance. And hey, I'm lucky that, you know, everything took off after that somehow.
So. Exactly. So you're fine. So yeah. So nobody should fault you.
It shows you that if you're not a shitty person in comedy, you know, people will forgive you. And you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you shouldn't cancel people over words.
Oh, yeah. I've never, a word has never given me a black eye once.
And it shouldn't.
Yes.
Because you should sue. You should sue if it does.
Well, yes. And, you know, I got a good lawyer.
Right.
But yeah, no, I've never, maybe it's just because who I am and I was raised kind of like middle class, like blue collar kind of thing. And like words like never got to me once, you know, and I was raised in like a small town. So it was like, I didn't even know these words or anything like that. Nobody really even cared that much, you know, like the perception on a small town is like, everybody's a piece of shit. Everybody, you know, like is so small minded. I feel like a small town's like more open minded because they've never experienced anything, that they're just like, dude, we're just here to hang. Right, this is right. A small, boring town. We just want to go fish.
Like, it's more like when you talk about, like, you know, colors or whatever, not blending, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's more like ignorance instead of hate, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's just like, I don't know that culture.
Whatever. Yeah, and everybody, I feel like everybody makes their own choices, and it's fine. Let me get back into this dating story when I have a wife out there.
Yeah.
So this guy messaged me. He's like, hey, do you want to be on this dating show? We're casting for this dating show. It's a dating show about a person living in a city and then a person living off the grid. And I don't know which one I would be, the person in the city or the person off the grid.
You're both, right?
Yeah, I guess I am pretty much. So I guess I don't really understand like where he's coming from. But I was like, oh, I accidentally date girls secretly, but I have a wife. But
oh my God,
this is the message. So I'm kind of trolling the dude, but since it's cable TV, no one watches that. I could date girls on cable TV. So sign me up, right?
Yeah,
he's like, all right. So we have a meeting at 5 the next day. And I was like, okay. And I totally didn't know that he was from New York, right? And I'm like, okay, maybe I should look this guy up because I have to, like, give him information, like, my name and my birthday or whatever, right? So I looked him up on LinkedIn, and it's, like, all legit. He's actually a producer. You know, he's a dork. And if you're a guy and you're, like, into 90 Day Fiancé, if that's what you're producing, you're a dork. You're not producing dirty jobs, all right?
Trash TV, bro.
Yeah, it makes money. He's probably rich, but at the same time, I dignity is better than money,
right,
I think.
Right.
But so he messaged me back, and we had a meeting at 5. So he called me for like a 20-minute interview, and the meeting went like, I haven't dated a girl in like 10 years. So he was asking me dating questions. It was something I really don't know about, and I've not thought of in like 10 years. So he's like, what's a red flag? And I'm like, bald chicks. And he's like, he got offended. He's like, why? Why? Or I'm like, I don't know. They just never liked me. And he's like,
yeah, it's their fault.
Well, there you go. That's what I'm saying. So that's a red flag. I'm very unlikable, but they preferably unlike me the most. So on the unlikable chart, it's them against me. But that was one of them. And I was like, I understand. That's a red flag.
Look, that should be understandable. I mean, okay, whatever.
Good for them.
You don't like politics? Okay, that's fine.
I don't. It's not that I don't like them. They don't like me. It's understandable, and I get it.
The one bald chick that you see a year doesn't give you any.
I would say there's about two. There's about two leaving me thumbs down on my YouTube videos.
Yeah. No bald chicks on your Tinder profile.
No. They definitely swipe left, unfortunately. Right. And I'll swipe right, you know? I want some.
He always swipes right.
Yeah, I always swipe right. I want some genie. I want some wishes, but. I want them to just shave it right off because they have the little peach fuzz still, and I'm like, I'm like, just shave it all the way. I just feel like it'd be kind of cool.
That's kind of how I feel about the California peach fuzz, you know, going all over the girls' bodies shaved it off.
The California peach fuzz? Are you offended by the California peach fuzz?
Yeah, I don't want to. I've never heard anybody call it that,
and I like that.
I don't want to see the peach fuzz glistening off of the sun. You know what I mean?
Really?
Through, like, it looks like you kind of have, like, a little beard.
Oh, are you talking about their face?
Yeah, yeah. You know how they have, like, the little white hairs?
But they say that they're not... Oh, God damn. Natty Ice.
Look, I'm no one to complain about hairs.
Exactly.
But...
You can complain, though. That's what's cool.
Yeah, right, right. We're on Douche Dad right now.
We're on the Douche Dad.
We're on the Douche podcast.
The Douche?
Sorry.
Podcast. This is the Douche podcast.
And
that's the whole point. You kind of have to complain about the peach fuzz.
That's what I feel like I feel like I can complain.
So when you see that, what is the feeling? Do you get a little chill or something?
It's like, do you not look in the mirror? You know what I mean?
100%.
Do you not go in the mirror in the morning?
But they don't see them very often. That's the thing. You can only see them kind of in the sun, and they still should get rid of them.
It's on the arm. It's the same thing.
You know? On the arm, yeah. The
arm fuzz.
Yeah. Do you know how much laser hair removal costs?
No, but I know it's that Asians don't grow hair in the first place.
Oh, I see what road you're going down, and I like it. I like it a lot.
Just a tip.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like that tip. That's a Douche Dad exclusive.
I would only say this on the Douche Dad.
No, we're gonna put a list of tips right back there. Yeah. Asians do not grow hair like that.
And they don't smell.
Asian men that squat and smoke cigarettes do not grow hair on their face like that. So okay, we know that for sure. Okay, I like that. I like that. So this dating podcast, so the bald head was a red flag, and you know, he got a little offended about that, which, you know, that's I get it. You know, when you live in New York, you know, we're from Vegas, we kind of, you know, we have different ways. We like strippers that smoke too much and have like postpartum stretch marks, you know. That's what we like in Vegas.
Hey, look, we're on the Douche Dad podcast. I'm two Natty Ices deep. It's just like, you know, football chicks, right?
Yeah. I'm going to take a hard stance. But I was waiting for him to be like, what if they have cancer? I'm like, they're weak. I can't have kids with them. They're going to have cancer anyways, you know? Like, my kids are going to have cancer too.
Dude, when I was in the seventh grade.
I think it's hereditary.
When I was in the seventh grade, I wouldn't even date people with a broken leg, let alone people that have cancer.
That's weak. That's some weak brittle bones right there. I will not date men that are weak or women that are weak.
Catch me with a woman with a limp? Are you kidding?
Not if she's a pimp or if she's a crip.
Yeah, she's not a pimp. I ain't with the lip, you know what I mean?
100%. We have one viewer, by the way.
We're gonna lose them soon.
Yeah, we're gonna lose them soon. It could be us, the one viewer.
True.
I have not figured out the Streamlabs. I'm getting shadow banned on Twitch. Sorry, guys. So another question was, what's the age range
for
the dating? Who do you want to date? Age range? And I was like, babe. She's like, okay, 40 to 90, okay? I only date women from the age of 40 to 90. He's like, okay, we can figure this out.
40 to 90, they ask zero questions.
they're like, you got a job?
I mean,
you're like, yeah, let's get to it.
You got a bed?
you got a bed. Do you have a backboard? Yeah. That's a good question.
How old are you? Okay,
I'm in. We're in. And then there was a couple other questions that I think I just made fun of him for. Oh, he was like, is there any other things you want to like say at the end? And I'm like, what did other people say? And he's like, well, there was a guy that talked about he collected miniature dinosaurs. And I'm like, don't call that guy back. That's what I have to say. He'll call you back too much. And then I was like, all right, I got the job, right?
I take so much offense to that. I collect action figures, and I swear it's a lady killer.
Okay, so if you collect Spawn, that's a Douche Dad awesome exclusive right there, dude.
I collect all horror action figures.
Okay, see, that's cool as fuck. I mean, girls don't think it's cool, but girls don't think anything's cool, and that's fine.
Right, that's fine. Girls think white furniture is cool, cute, and that ever cool, and that's it.
White
lights and anything. They all
Akon's,
have the same
group. Akon's the next guest, so let's cut that part out. he loves white furniture. But okay, so what?
You're totally right, though. He's on to something.
Mm-hmm.
Horror action figures are not weird. They're not childish. They're cool. They're just fucking cool. If you collect, like Marvel action figures.
Yeah, that's not cool. That's not cool. There's no, 100%. It has to be an adult thing. Yeah, if my kid can like it, no, we can't do it.
That's basic shit. Everybody knows who Spider-Man is.
Everyone knows.
It's not cool. You don't need 700 Spider-Man dolls in your house. And the Iron Fist. What's that fist that everybody likes? That fucking fist? Avengers? See, Douchedad is so cool. You guys even know what the fuck I'm talking about. One of the only dudes.
The coolest fucking guy.
You can't find any guys that don't know what I'm talking about right now.
100%.
Because everybody loves Marvel. Like, mm-hmm. Everybody loved Pokemon back in the day. You know what I mean?
100%.
It's fucking lame.
Dude, the only movie I've ever finished was John Wick, okay? That's the only movie I've ever finished. I swear to God. I have such bad ADD. I will walk out of any movie or go on my phone or ignore it. John Wick is the only movie I've ever finished, okay?
Wow.
I swear to God. And that's
get
just
into,
who I am.
Get into horror movies.
I like horror movies.
They don't fucking... There's no
But
romance.
I gotta wait till the end, and I need a good monster, okay? Horror movies aren't about the good monsters anymore. Insidious was the last good horror movie I saw.
Hell yeah. Dude.
That's the last good
Insidious
horror movie.
Was dope.
Great.
You know why Insidious was dope? Because they used they didn't use like CGI. They used like dolls and shit. It was like 80s style. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
80s horror rules. Nobody gives a fuck about this. The 80s horror rules. Yeah.
No. People give a fuck about this. You would be for people to not enjoy like Jason or Michael Myers or stuff like that. Like you gotta have something wrong with you because that's just cool ass shit. That's as cool as shit because they're just like they're like stars, but I don't have to listen to them fucking talk, right? So like when you like
true.
Brad Pitt, you gotta listen to him talk like after the movie, like, oh, I love doing this fucking movie. He's not the fucking guy, right? He's not the guy in the movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So he's not the cool ass motherfucker in Hollywood. What is that movie called? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He's this dork as fuck. After, right?
And who doesn't want to see a fucking woman get the head smashed in the headboard, you know what I mean? By Michael Myers.
Yeah, the guy's cool as fuck. What's your favorite horror guy?
Things that I just watched. I just watched Victor Crowley. You know him?
No.
Fucking hilarious. It's just, I like hilarious, campy horror movies. You know what I just watched? This will be relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Hubie Halloween on Netflix.
Okay. Yeah.
Garbage.
I've seen that.
Absolute garbage.
Oh, was it bad?
Yeah. Just an hour and a half of making fun of the water boy. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But whatever. Okay. So, yeah.
That's so cool though. I like shitty horror movies too. Okay,
that's why, because they can be shitty,
exactly,
and you can enjoy them. That's,
exactly, that's and you still can, it still has like it could be a shitty plot or whatever, but it still has like there's something about it, right? Yeah.
Try to enjoy a shitty romantic movie.
Oh, it's impossible.
Fuck, like just watch Lifetime all day. Mm-hmm. You know what
I mean? That's the same thing why I only watch John Wick, because they don't talk in the movie; they just shoot each other, and I like that. When they're talking, I'm bored.
I understand it.
I am bored.
There's horror movies, dude.
Like, Nanette should go on John Wick because that would be sick ass.
Who's that?
Nanette. Who's like, the Australian comic. You ever watch that?
No, I never.
Oh, dude, I love watching shitty comedy specials. That's one of my favorite things.
That sounds funny. I don't watch a lot of comedy specials, but I'm down to watch
shitty ones.
Shitty comedy.
Go on to Amazon. The shittiest comedy specials in the world are on there. And a little bit of Netflix. You got to watch. There's a little bit. If you don't know their name, it's going to be shitty. 100% on Netflix. So that's kind of cool.
That's true. That's
kind of cool.
Yeah. But it's shitty to the point where it's not even entertaining.
Exactly. And I like that. This girl that I...
You like that.
Yeah. This girl that I just watched do his comedy special literally had no punchlines. I love it. No punchlines. PowerPoint in the background. Like, look at how hot my sister is in our dance costume.
And she had a PowerPoint?
PowerPoint of just her and her sister, like, in dance attire, and she was the bigger girl. So she'd be like, look how hot my... And that's it. That's the whole stand-up special, is just her showing PowerPoints of, like, her childhood, right? And, like, funny pictures almost, but they're not that funny. So she tries to make them a little funnier. It's amazing. She made, and I looked it up, she made $250,000 off this. And I'm like, I need to get in Australia.
Yeah, isn't that encouraging?
It's 100%.
I'm not going to hate on that.
It's 100%.
Keep producing shitty comedy specials and you'll see me on Netflix soon.
Amazon.
Sorry. Prime.
Yeah. White dudes will not be on Netflix anymore. but you know, you're not 100%.
That's true.
You got a little Puerto Rican, you know?
Yeah, Puerto Rican jokes are funny, so I've been playing that up.
Dude, I like Puerto Rican jokes. Those are funny.
Right, exactly.
A lot of material. I just watched my favorite movie, my favorite horror movie is 10,000 Corpses by Rob Zombie.
House of a Thousand Corpses.
Fucking love that movie. And then the Devil from, or what is it, the Three?
Devil's Rejects?
Yeah, I liked it, but at the
three
same
from
time.
Hell?
No, the Devil's Rejects.
Rejects.
I thought the Three from Hell were better than the Devil's Rejects, okay. But I liked it kind of, but I feel like, I don't know, it wasn't as, like, cool.
Yeah,
it was.
He,
like,
only watched the first 25 minutes.
Only the one I did. I watched up to the point where Dr. Satan, and then I was like, "All right, I gotta get out of here. I gotta do some fucking engineering."
Fuck yeah, Rob Zombie rules. I could talk about horror all day. This is I only have $2,000 worth of horror action figures chilling in my room for some reason.
Okay, let's get into this too. Are they molded or 3D printed?
I haven't done the research for that. They're molded?
Okay, so what they can do is I don't know, like, you could probably 3D print your own, because I've seen dudes on the 3D printing forums and they, like, 3D print Spawn, and I'm like, that's pretty chill as far. And they'll send you, like, the GNM code to 3D print for that. But
no, none of that.
Yeah, it's pretty sick ass. But
that's wild.
It's pretty sick ass. But you could basically do that. So, like, the action figures that you buy for, I don't know, $50-$60, right?
Yeah.
So the action figures you could buy, you could necessarily find that action figure and 3D print it, depending on if you have a 3D printer that's plus $1,500.
Oh, that's how they come up with these knockoffs in China?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I don't know. I think they'll cast them, because casting's super cheap, and then just paint it after that, right? Because they'll just use a machine and then cast. They'll use a little CNC machine and then cast, like, get a mold, and then they'll just fucking shoot rubber into that mold and then do it.
I mean, I know it sounds racist and everything, but you cannot order action figures from China, I think. I don't know
if that's racist, but I think it's a production thing. Why can't you order them from China? Because they're just not good quality.
They're gonna be fake.
They're fake. What do you mean?
And that's totally just my opinion. Not a fact at all.
I get what you're saying. So. Okay. So you're buying action figures from a person that's creating that
from the manufacturer.
From the manufacturer. Okay. All right.
From the actual, like, you know what I mean, or like actual, like, legit, brand, like an actual, like, legit store. But then you can get those same action figures from China.
From, like, eBay, right? Is that what you're saying?
From eBay,
yes.
From Mercari or whatever the fuck it's called.
Okay, but they have the name of the producers on there.
Yeah.
So they're fake. Okay, so just like if you buy Jordan.
It won't say fake. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
But if you find, like, I'll buy them for,
how,
like,
good are the fakes, though, you think?
They're great. You can't tell.
Okay.
You can't
tell.
You know what I mean? You can go on, like, a YouTube tutorial or whatever. But, like, I buy them for $35. If you find that same action figure for $20, it's fake, basically. You know what I mean?
What is your favorite action figure in your collection? I like this.
Dude,
this is cool.
All right, if you like it, I like it. I mean, I have this Mars Attack figure.
Mars Attack.
Do you know Mars Attacks?
I fucking don't know Mars Attacks. I'm cool as fuck.
That'd be an awesome watch.
Is that an awesome watch?
Yeah,
I'll have to also look this Mars Attack. Okay.
It's by what's the name? Tim.
1996. I like that. I like 90s.
It's what's his name from Nightmare Before Christmas.
I've seen this guy. Okay. I know who you're talking about. That's sick ass.
Yeah. No, okay. It's like one of my favorite movies, but it's when I started my collection. I collected two action figures like 10 years ago, and then I didn't collect an action figure until 2020. But I picked up an action figure from 2012, Mars Attacks. It was like the 50th anniversary version.
And it's the guy with the head.
And now that action figure, I bought it for like $17, and now it goes for like $250.
Wow.
So yeah, it's legit. Like, all of my action figures are a little bit more expensive than what I paid for them. So.
And that's good. And okay, that's exactly
retirement.
Well, see, we shouldn't say that. I like the... Okay, so I collect a lot of stuff, too, and I love collecting. Yeah. Collecting is cool. And it's a passion. It's like, if you can be into something, that's fucking cool.
It's fucking
and
manly.
More people... Like, I follow this guy that collects Slipknot masks. Have you seen that guy? Has a mask?
That's cool. No.
Dude, so fucking cool, right? He has that's just legit. This crazy collection of Slipknot masks. I collect custom maps. That's kind of like where I'm at.
That's pretty dope. That's pretty manly.
Custom, I wouldn't say it's manly. It's I think awesome. It's more dorky than your horror films. Because I feel like horror films, little bit of a mainstream factor. But if I told you that I have, let's say, a Bokra Stitch with Mokutai handles, Damascus blade.
Right. I'm going to say that's a knife.
You're going to say, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
If I didn't tell you it was a knife, you'd be like, "What?" I'm like, "Oh."
I'd be like, "Is that $10 or $5,000?"
Correct, right? And I go by like let's say I I'm a steel whore, okay? If you give me like let's say like a 10, what is it called? A 1090 or like a D2 steel, I'm like, you know, the edge retention.
Nobody knows.
Exactly. That's the idea of collecting is no one knows what you're talking about until you find somebody who you're talking about. And then you fall in love with that person and then you marry that person.
That's what makes it special, right?
And then that person is a guy.
You spend $15,000 collecting things that nobody knows, and then one guy comes.
Yes, exactly. And then you show them to your friends, and you're like, this is fucking stupid, dude. And then you're like, I could sell this for $2,000 on fucking Bladeforms right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Babe, I need another Natty Light, baby.
There are seven people in the world that want that.
100%.
That knife.
And they want it.
That's worth it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why collecting is cool. And, okay, so do you, when you get something, do you ever restore your action figures or no?
No, I leave them in the box, first of all.
Okay, so you buy box shit.
Because I'm a money whore. So
yeah, no, I understand.
If it doesn't, you know what I mean, keep its value, then I'm like, it's not that cool.
It's not cool.
People hate that, by the way. Like, isn't that weird? Like, the little subcultures, like, there's little rules. Like, I don't know if it's with knives, too.
Yes.
But if you open, or if you don't open your action figures,
okay,
you're a fucking loser to the action figure community. You know what I mean? You have to play with your action figures to be a legit action figure collector. So I'm not a legit action figure collector.
100%. This is the problem. Okay. Are you rich?
No.
Exactly. That's the problem. Okay, so if you're this is the rich fucking mentality is like I'm going to lose money if I just like how I do my podcast in my apartment and not at like a shop is because I'm going to lose money and I don't make money on this, right? So if you had like just money coming in, like let's say you're making $10,000 a month,
whatever, like millionaire.
Yes, if you're a million, not even that. Just
or
like,
not trying to make any money on the collection, I guess.
Correct. Yeah. Then you would open it, right?
Yeah,
You'd have a good display in your fucking office.
Yeah.
You wouldn't give a fuck. Yeah. But the idea is that you still love it, but you also want to have like that backup plan, right? And
see,
if you don't like it,
I want to marry this dude right now. He knows what I'm talking.
Fucking,
about.
I've thought about everything in the world. That's the problem. I can't watch a movie because I've already thought about it. I've already thought about it. So it's like, if it doesn't fit to that mold, like, you know, and John
that's
Wick doesn't
true.
Fit
true,
to that
though.
Mold.
Why can't I have my cake and eat it too? I want to.
Correct.
I love the action figures, but I'm going to leave you in your little cell so that you can, so I can make $5 off of you.
Correct. It's always a backup plan. There's always a backup plan involved in it. And it, and if, you know, if you just had money in the bank at all times, then it would make more sense for you to open them. Right. Right.
So, it's, and if I like to play with action figures like a little child, I'd open them too. You know what I mean? But I like the packaging. I appreciate the art. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
And first off, if you're playing with your action figures, that if you're not just displaying them or maybe doing a YouTube video, that makes sense. But if you're actually like sitting there moving the arms, it's like, I don't know how much you're going to get out of that. Like, are you going to do that for an hour? No,
not me. Or I would love. All right, if any action figure collectors actually play with their action figures for hours on end, I'd love for you to stream it or something. You know what I mean? This is my challenge to all you action figures collectors on stream, Twitch. This is my challenge to you: Twitch yourself, streaming yourself playing with action figures 5 hours a day.
Go flex, dude.
You know what I mean? And then prove that you're a real action figure player.
And also action figures, I don't know if this is true because I've seen action figures, but I've never like collected them. I've bought like a Spawn action figure. That's the only person I've ever bought.
I respect that.
I like Spawn. Spawn is cool as fuck. He's cool as fuck. Yeah. And I like his powers, and they did a shitty movie about it, but I still, you know, I watch half of it. But because I know the end. Exactly. You know, and he's a cool character, but the legs don't move, right?
Okay, so it's only like 4 points of articulation.
Correct, right? So 4 points would be arms, basically?
Well, actually, it'd be like 3 points because your head would move.
The head would move.
And then your arms, I guess, right?
Yeah, so then... 3 points. Yeah, exactly. So you're not even doing the cool ass, hey, dude, I'm locking this fucking guy. Like, do you remember when you used to play G.I. Joe's? I don't know if a lot of people play with G.I. Joe's, but like, I feel like I'd be like, I gotta walk this fucking guy, and like both have fingers on the legs, right? Yeah. So it exactly. I used to, when I was a kid, I used to collect those. Do you remember those little like skateboarding guys that would like
tech decks?
They were like thumbs.
No.
They were like giant thumbs.
First of all, I don't know how old this guy is.
Oh, I'm 25.
Okay.
I just turned 25. Okay. How old are you?
I'm 30.
Yeah, you're too old to be in here. I gotta kick you out. You're 30 years old, man. You know, that's pretty awesome.
Isn't that crazy? That's great. It's such a difference from when I turned 30 and 29 to the perception of people that I tell people my age. You know what I mean? Like, the perception of when I tell people my age has completely changed.
Yes.
From when I was 29 to 30. Because when I was 29, it was like, oh, you're really old, like that's kind of old. And then when I turn 30, it's like, oh, you look really young for your age.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then people get creeped out that I'm 30, but when I was 29, it wasn't as creepy. It's weird. You know, it's a weird mental game that I've been playing since I've been 30.
Yeah. Yeah. And when did you turn 30?
January.
Okay. So yeah, pre-COVID 30. That's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet. So what'd you do for your 30th birthday?
Nothing, because I'm 30 and that's fucking depressing, dude.
It's not, well, I would say it's depressing. I think it's cool as fuck.
It's not. It's really cool. 20s are weird. Your 20s are a weird time. It's kind of like you have to like mold yourself into somebody that you like. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even know yourself.
Correct.
And then 30s, it's like, all right, well, I definitely am an adult. I'm a grown up. I'm getting older, and guess what? I guess I'm gonna die someday. You know what I mean? Like, in your 20s, you feel immortal.
Yes.
And then your 30s, you're like, okay, well, I'm just gonna do what I want to do now because I'm gonna die soon.
I wouldn't say you're gonna die soon. I think you still have 30 more years until you die. You could still. Okay. Did you ever read? Have you read Sam Talent's book yet? Running the
Line. No, but a lot of people love him.
He's the greatest comedian of all time.
But no, I don't know him, actually.
He was in Vegas for a little bit there, and then he moved away. And he might be the greatest comedian of all time. First, and I've seen every single comedian. I've seen Bill Burr. I've seen Joe Rogan. I've seen, who else?
Yeah, dude, that's it. That's all you need.
Yeah, that's all I pretty much need to see. I've seen Dave Chappelle. Jim Jefferies. That's I've seen a lot of comedians. Oh, Doug Stanhope, right?
Are you talking about live?
Live, yeah.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, so before I started comedy, I bought tickets up the yin yang. But then, like, when I started comedy, I'm like, oh, I can't buy tickets because I'm going to get their, like, aneurysms and I'm going to like it too much, you know? If you go see, like, a really good comedian, you kind of pull too much, like...
Oh, I see. Oh, the... Yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying.
So, like, the Doug Stanhope...
I thought
like,
you said aneurysms, not
manurysms. Aneurysms. Right, I'm sorry.
Okay. Right. I was thinking of the brain bleed.
Yes. Okay,
yeah.
Yes.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
So, both manurysms and aneurysms.
Yeah, you definitely would.
It's
going to
blow your mind.
No, you would. You would pick up the manner.
Yeah, so you kind of have to slow it down. But I saw everybody, and then I saw Sam, and I've seen him do, like, a couple shows around town, and I'm like, holy fuck, this guy rips, right? And he just understands, like, the game, like, 100%. And his book kind of talks about, like, stand-up. And it's, like, his book makes me sad. At the same time, it makes me happy. Right? Mm-hmm. Because his book is, like, about a comedian that's been doing it for so long. And he got some opportunities. And then he's kind of just doing bullshit shows. Right?
Sam is?
The book. It's not about him.
Oh, it's a fictional character?
It's a fictional character about a guy that wears cowboy boots.
Oh, so this guy actually wrote a book.
This guy actually wrote the best book I've ever read.
Well, that's cool.
I know. I've
He's read all the books and seen all the comics.
I've never read one comic. And I've never read one book. Okay, but this is the one book I did read.
It's the best book ever.
It's the best book I've ever read. So, but yeah, he just kind of, he makes you depressed at the same time happy because you're like, this is why I do this. And this is the shows I want to do. I want to do that show in Kangman where I'm standing next to horseshit.
Oh man, dude. That's.
Have you been on the road yet?
No, and it scares the fuck out of me.
I think you can do it.
Because I don't want to do
it. We should do it. No. It's fun.
Well, you know, it's funny. I just bought a car.
You just bought a car at 30 years old. Congratulations.
I'm sorry, dude. You know what I mean?
You lived in New York this whole time,
I don't go hunting on the weekends. I don't have a beautiful girlfriend outside. You know, I don't have anything.
This is why I love comedians, because I have to pick them up.
I am 30 years old, and this guy right here next to me is way more successful. Let's get that out of the way.
It's just I have ADD, and I just have to try. I have to try as hard as I can at anything I do, and if it's not fun, I don't do it. So that's the whole point.
He drifted more toward his white side. I drifted toward my Puerto Rican side. You know what I mean?
I guess it is what it is.
But yeah, no, I just bought a car, which
it's exciting. That's really good.
And especially for me, because like you said, I don't have anything.
Yeah.
And there's something about like, cause I was driving a shitty car. So I would have to think about going to open mics. You know what I mean? How much gas I had, if I wanted to, drive and risk, like, you know,
break it down, maybe,
you know, or oil changes coming up, you know, like, I don't want to, you know, either.
You're like, this is $30 a month. I understand.
Like this $30 needs to go toward 2-for-1 Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that I can eat this. So
fucking strawberry, man. I need strawberry.
So that I can eat this month. You know what I mean? So.
Okay. All right.
So I did buy a car, and my whole, like, world has opened up because now I feel like I can drive. And I am looking to.
You're a 16-year-old girl, dude.
Exactly. I just got out of my parents' house.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
I just got my permit. Story would go the same way.
This is great.
This 16-year-old girl.
100%. This is a great story. This is a great feeling because I love to capitalize on this feeling. Okay, so when you drove, look, I don't know when the first time you drove, but drove by yourself and felt comfortable to go somewhere. Where did you go and what was the feeling?
Oh, dude. Well, first of all, I had my car and I couldn't drive it yet because I was 15 or whatever.
Yes.
The first place I went to was school because I was like, okay, I'm not catching the bus anymore. I'm done with the bus. As soon as I got a car, no permit, no license plate, I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm driving 100%. This car to school every day.
Mm-hmm.
Or I will drop out of school, mom. And it's all your fault because you wouldn't let me drive my car to school.
100%.
I'm not taking the bus anymore.
No. I've never been on a bus, but go on. Okay, go on. Douchebag, baby.
Look, I'm trying to get like this guy.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But so first of all, it was the school. But then probably my first ride out was I get on the road And you know how they got the cones or whatever for construction bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the wrong turn to like where the construction was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And drove like completely off the road. And I was all of a sudden like in the desert. Just driving in the desert. I was like, oh, fuck. You know what I mean?
You got a little pre-runner in there.
Yeah.
Mitsubishi. Zuzu.
Everything I did as a child was fucked up.
Okay.
I mean? And it led me to being a 30-year-old that finally got a car. So.
Okay. So that's your story. What was that feeling like, though?
When I first got a car? Now?
When you first got a car that you... I mean, I guess... Okay, so now... I guess let's talk about now, like that feeling of... You got your car, you drove it. Where was the first place you drove a car to?
You know what my first feeling was? I'm in my car. I'm in my new car.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you know, it's not like a badass car, whatever. It's just a newer car, but it's not, you know, it's a pretty lower, you know, whatever, you know, lower
it's
class.
It's just a good car.
Yeah.
It's a reliable good car. Yeah.
But my first thought is like, you know, everybody's looking at me in my new car. Like, you know what I mean? Even though nobody, I've never looked at my car before I had my car. You know what I mean?
This is a Beamer.
Yeah. Okay. It's never impressed me. My car has never impressed me when somebody else had it. But as soon as I had it, I was like, oh yeah.
That's the greatest feeling.
Everybody's looking at me.
And that's the whole point. I feel like people don't appreciate that too. Because it's a good feeling. If you work for something.
It's a confidence booster.
And especially when you had to ride on the bus where I don't know what happens on buses. I think they kill chickens on buses. You know, like,
well,
I don't know what happens on the bus, right? So, but to get that feeling and say like, hey, you know, like I got this and everyone's looking at me. It's like, this is the world. And this is like exciting. You know what I mean?
It did feel like I grew up. Like, okay.
At 30 years old, it feels like we're growing up.
Yeah. I can finally own an animal.
Okay. Well, there we go. Own a hamster. Finally.
Yeah. Right.
You don't have to worry about putting them in the microwave. You don't have to worry about anything.
Oh, that's... microwave is where I could call my
for sure. Okay. I'm going to get you a cast iron skillet. That's what comes with this podcast. If you do this podcast, you're getting a cast iron skillet.
Mini Joe Rogan over here. You could take me out of my
I love how I'm mini Joe Rogan, even though I'm taller than Joe Rogan.
True, and he's not that tall.
But. He's Jack, dude. My first feeling when I was doing pools. So my dad had a pool servicing business, and I would do pools around my neighborhood. And I had this little trailer that my dad made, and I would ride my bike to all the pool servicing things. Right?
Can I just say that's why this guy's successful?
Why?
Because you learned hard work as a kid.
Well, we were just white trash garbage, and everyone in the neighborhood used to know that. So they're like, we pay this guy $25 to acid wash my pool. But yeah, so I would get my little trailer. And have you ever seen a pool pole out of the back of a truck? Have you ever seen one of those?
A what?
A pool pole. So it's like a pole that sticks out of the back of your truck. So usually it's from a 6-foot bed and it'll stick out another 3 feet. So I'm on my bicycle and I had to put a bracket on the front of my fork. Right. So I'd have to lay it on there and then I have to feed it all the way back. And I had a shorter pole because I had to ride my bike to all my things. But I couldn't turn left on my bicycle.
You had a pole in the back of your truck? Is that what you're saying?
I had a pole in the back of my truck, but I was riding a bicycle doing pools. So I had a bicycle and I had a little trailer attached to my bicycle.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, like with all the supplies.
With all my supplies. Yeah. So like my pH stuff and my like chlorine and all that jazz, right?
Yeah.
And I would ride around my neighborhood because Boulder City was where I grew up and it was a small town and I would just do pools in the neighborhood. Like within like 2 miles, I would do all those pools. So I had to have this long pool pole that I couldn't turn left with. So I was like, it would be fucking such a hassle. Like every day to do these pools and like it paid no money. It was funny that my dad would take more money out of what we were paid than give to me. So he would give me fucking pesos compared to his, like, he was making a lot of money off of
child labor, baby.
A child labor.
That's what it's all about when you're a kid, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Not out. He's, I don't know, but nobody else had to do this shit.
Yeah.
So, I would.
You were the only 13-year-old cleaning pools.
And they would, like, let me in the backyard, and I'd just go out there in my tank top.
They're like, this poor fucking baby.
This kid doesn't even live around here, even though I lived up the street. like they made me work, but like I would do that in the morning time and then go golf all day the rest of the time. So I would ride my bike down, go in the backyard in my tank top, and we had to wear the tank tops. I don't know if my dad just did this to fuck with me, but even in the fall, we had to wear tank tops in 70 to like 60 degrees. The work attire was just like fucking white trash tank tops.
And what? 60 to 70 degrees in water, right on water.
It's brutal, chiller, right? It's brutal. And he was like, and he would get pissy with me. He's like, you gotta show the fucking company logo. And so, fucking,
wait, what did you just say?
You gotta show the company fucking logo.
Oh, okay, yeah,
you gotta fucking show the logo.
And I ain't getting no sweat.
No. Two tank tops in the winter. Thank you, Theo Vaughn, for that joke. That's a great joke. But yeah, so I would ride my bike, and finally at 15 and a half, I got this little truck, and it was a little Ford Ranger, right? So it was a two-door Ford Ranger with those fucking windows.
The Mexican truck.
Yeah. the Mexican dudes would call my truck the Beaner Mobile. And some girl, I was telling this story last night, and some girl's like, that's racist. I'm like, you're white. How do you know?
It is racist.
And there's a Mexican guy right here, and he's saying it's fine, but they would call that to me. Right. They would tell me that, right?
Right. There's certain people you grew up with that
100%
ways.
The Mexican dudes I grew up with that worked with me, that's what they would call it. So I didn't really know. In a small town, when you're growing up, you're like, oh, that's just what it was. That's what everyone would call it. So I guess that's what it is. You would always have shit in the back. And whenever I went to Home Depot, I would find dudes sitting in the back of my truck. Swear to God.
Ready for work.
Ready. Like, they're like, where are we going? And I'm like, I actually don't need you. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. And then they would get mad at me and threaten to beat my ass. And I'm like 15 and a half. And the only reason why, like, they would be like, fine, they wouldn't beat my ass is I would bring another dude that didn't have a license that would help me with my pools. So I'm 15 and a half and I'm driving, right? This like little Ford Ranger, it's a beater, right? So the first time I got it, I grew up like everyone was a little older than me, all my friends. Okay. They all got fucking rad ass whips.
Yeah.
Like Lexuses.
Older cities driving in some rich shit, huh?
I wouldn't say rich, but I would say class. I would say straight up class, like used class.
Do you have to have money to live in Boulder City?
I would say you have to have a little bit of money.
Okay.
There is apartments, but they're small. There's not a lot, right? So you kind of have to be in a single family home, and you know the house is around like $340,000, right? So it's not too bad. It's not too crazy. It's just blue collar dudes, and that's what I was. I was a blue collar dude. And I didn't know anything different. So I got this little truck, and I was kind of like, oh, man, I got this little truck, and it always has shit in the back. It's always, you know, like spilled chlorine. I always have to have a pool pole back there, and, like, I have all my tools and shit everywhere, right? And, you know, it just wasn't like my buddy got a Lexus with subs, right? You're like, damn, that's fucking cool, right? And I wouldn't. The thing that embarrassed me the most was not like the fact that the truck was like always dirty and always had dents and always had this. It was that I had to roll up my windows like this.
Yeah, dude.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Dude, that's enough to like want to kill somebody.
100%.
Growing up, like, dude, the white privilege that this dude did not grow up with, because he had to roll his windows up like this.
Did you ever go up to a girl and be like, hey, and have to reach over?
Oh, dude. I couldn't imagine.
Dude. Oh,
did she puke all over you?
Oh, she just walked away and then flicked my pool pole. So I got that truck, and I was like, so my younger friends, I got held back in second grade. So I had younger friends, and then I had older friends. So all my older friends got nice cars, and I would drive around with them occasionally. And then when I got my truck, my younger friends were like, dude, we got to go do something. So we get into my truck, AKA what the Mexican dudes called the Beanermobile.
The Mexicans called it that.
The Mexican dudes I worked with, they called that what that is, because they would laugh, because I was the owner's son, and they would be like, they would laugh at me how shitty he treated. Their trucks were better than my trucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they would have F-150s and I had a Ford Ranger. Okay. So that's a bump, right? And just, I didn't even have the extended cab Ford Ranger. Okay. I had the 2-door Ford Ranger, the extended cab. That was clean living right there, dude.
Right.
That was straight up the class.
I love, this is some Boulder City talk. I love
this is, yeah, that was
awesome.
That was, you could put your backpack back there. That's fucking cool, right? I didn't have to put my backpack in my front, like, seat, like, in the wheel, like, you know, the wheel area or whatever.
Are you talking about, because you're talking about a guy that has no idea what trucks are.
Okay.
But you're talking about you only had 2 seats.
I only had 2 seats. Yeah. So it was a single cab Ford Ranger, okay? This is the cheapest truck at the time. They're kind of expensive now. But
they just came out with them again, right?
Yeah, they just came out, but they don't even make a 2-door anymore, I don't think. Unless it's like a gardening truck. They'll do the gardening trucks. So that's my truck.
Imagine. That is the mobile, you know what I mean?
100%. You can say it because you're Puerto Rican, I think.
Mexican, but I think you can get away with it,
yeah, and that's fine. And as long as you're not saying it towards people, and as long as it's coming from someone else's mouth, I think it's okay.
I think Puerto Ricans are like in between beaner and the M word. You know what I mean?
Could be. There could be. I don't know anything about your culture because I will not travel outside the U.S., but I support it.
Oh, I've never been to Puerto Rico.
Exactly. I would never even think about going to anywhere.
But it is the U.S., I think. That's weird. Kind of.
It's Puerto Rico, the U.S.?
It's like U.S. territory.
What are the Caribbean islands? I have no idea world is.
Yeah, it's cool.
But there's the extended cab where it's just like the fold-down seats. You ever seen it on a fold-down seat truck?
No.
Oh, my God. That's the shit.
Right?
Yeah, that's the shit, dude. That's the Bentleys of the Ford Rangers.
I mean, I'm sure I have. What do you mean a fold-down truck?
Okay, so they have these seats in the back that fold down. So they fold up. They fold down. They can only fit a
Isn't
tush.
Is that a normal feature for a car?
No. They can only fit a tush about a 3-year-old. So you have 2 tushes hanging off these seats, but they're cool, right? And you don't look forwards when you're sitting down. Okay, I got to show you this. Extended cab Ford Ranger. Okay. So it's not small enough to have seats, right? So look how small that is back there, right?
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. It has like the little tiny like bus seat thing.
Exactly. Yeah, and you have to look at the other direction. You're not looking straight. So when an accident happens, you're looking at that person and they have 2 fold-down seats.
Okay, I know.
Usually there's a sub blocking the other seat. So you have a 12-inch sub, right? And
I mean, only in the Beamer mobiles.
Only. It's true though. It's true, and it doesn't work ever. Okay, it doesn't work ever,
God.
Dude. I literally.
How many viewers do we have? One.
It's okay. Yeah, we can just bleep it, and only in my truck, right? Only in what they used to call it, and you can't say that anymore. Apparently, a white girl told me that, and I was like, okay, I won't say it ever. That's fine. That's fine. But yeah, so I got like 5 friends to go with me. I got this truck. Had all my pool equipment. Got 5 friends to go, and we lived in Boulder City. We wanted to go to Sonic. There's not a Sonic in Boulder City. We drove to Henderson.
Wow.
To go to Sonic, right?
That's like a 40-minute drive or something.
No, it's not that bad. It's like 15 minutes. So Boulder City is like right outside of Henderson. But
it is a dope freeway.
It's a dope freeway. Very dope. But it's like the Cars movie. You ever watch that movie?
No, I haven't.
You never watch Cars? Like, you're 30. That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm a male through alpha through and through.
I understand. I respect your alpha, and I have a child. So, I mean, I had to watch it. But, I mean, I watched it when I was a kid, too. But so I got my 5 friends, and they're all stoked. And, by the way, also, it was a manual shifter, a 5-speed. And
my last car was a manual, so...
I like manuals. I like it. Depends on if your car's cool, a manual's cool. But if your car's not cool, a manual's not cool, right?
You like to drive your car.
Yeah, dude. It's hard to spit dip and change second gear, okay? Yeah. And so my buddy, I had five friends, so five people in a Ford Ranger. You got one in the middle, right? The tiniest seat ever.
So we put the middle seat of a truck. Yeah.
Tiniest seat ever, bro. Especially on a Ford Ranger, when you can touch both sides and not have to stretch your arms out. Tiniest seat ever. And then we have the bigger friend that's on the right. And then we have the two friends in the back that are on the fold down seats, right? That you just, if you just brake stop them, they just hit the back of your seat. It's hilarious. But so you got my buddy in the middle, and we're so stoked. We're going to get some tater tots and some fucking slushies, dude. And what happens is when you have to shift gears on the truck, and especially when you hit lights and stuff, you just bash your buddy's knees. So they would just have fucking bruised thighs through your Ford Ranger, bro. But that feeling of like being able to go somewhere and be like, oh, dude, this is sick. We can go anywhere. And then you figure out, wait, gas costs how much? Yeah. But at that time, gas cost $5 a gallon when I got my first car.
God damn.
Yeah, it was insane. And that's so,
goddamn Obama. You know what I mean?
Was it Obama there? I think it was Bush, right?
I have no idea.
I think it was Bush.
I'm so apolitical. You know what I mean?
That's good. I like that. I like being right down the middle. I don't know anything about politics. I think it was Bush.
Yeah.
I think it was 2000. I don't know.
How much longer? I got to piss so bad.
Oh, dude, go piss. Go piss.
Just go piss.
I'll just keep telling the story. You can do it right in that bathroom right there. My girl just destroyed that bathroom earlier, too. Yeah, it was great.
See my house.
Yeah. I don't want to see your house. But yeah, no, it was an excellent adventure of just having fun with your buddies and nobody cared. Everybody had a lot of fun. We actually went to California in that truck, and I put a camper shell on that Ford Ranger at a time to not get all my stuff stolen. 100% all my stuff was stolen. Like it skin boards, we got like a couple bags of clothes. Everything was stolen out of the back of it. That's just how that's just how life is in California, unfortunately. Especially if you have a Ford Ranger, because people just steal shit out of Ford Rangers. Because also with Ford Rangers too, I got my Ford Ranger broken into so much, they don't have any like security systems on them. And if you just pulled the door handle really hard, the door would just open. No matter what, if it's locked or unlocked, it just rips open. So that's another downside of Ford Rangers. That's a design issue. They should have alarms. For how much that truck cost new, I think it was like 15 or 14 grand new in 2006. I've had a 2014, which was my nicest Ford Ranger. I've had a 2006. I've had a 2003 Stepside. Stepsides are the best Ford Rangers. The easiest things to get. They look the best, and they're easy to get things out, right? So I would say that Ford Ranger's the best, the Stepside Ford Rangers. We're doing some Ford Rangers hard hitting. Let's get into another topic. So, because the Ford Rangers just get me going. It's my favorite truck. I mean, I drive a nice truck now, a Tacoma, but you know, like I miss it.
The Tacoma, that's like an upgrade to the Ford Ranger, right? That's like the small.
I would say it's a 17 times upgrade because you don't break down all the time.
It's like that, same size though, right? Like kind of like it's like a smaller truck.
I would say it's pretty big. My truck's huge. My truck, I would say, because I can fit like five people in there really comfortably. So it's a lot bigger, I think, than Ford. I think the Ford Rangers and maybe the Nissans are the smallest trucks you can get. But let's talk about something else. Let's get back to stand up, dude. So what shows this year? I think this is a good year. I'm actually taking stand up pretty seriously because I have the time to like write. Yep. And just really, like, just hunker down and get some stage time. And I figured out that if you just go to the shows and ask people if you can go up, they'll let you go up, right?
Hell yes. Hell yes.
The feature shows.
People thought I was so funny in my first year of stand-up. No, that was really nice.
Yeah.
And I went and supported people's shows, and they were like, all right, you can be on our show next week, you know what I mean?
That's huge.
That's for sure how I started all my shows. Now I don't do that, and I don't get as many shows.
It's okay. We'll start doing that. I'll start driving you around. All
right? Yeah. But I need to – you're right, though. It's a good time to be serious about stand-up because I feel like people –
Let's do Boulder City tomorrow. You want to do Boulder City?
Is that tomorrow? Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, tomorrow. Just meet me at my house, and I'll drive down. All right. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Boulder City tomorrow. If you guys want to come? Yeah, Boulder City is great.
But it's like it's a good time to start taking this seriously, because I think people pre quarantine or whatever you did pre quarantine, it doesn't matter right now. You know what I mean? It's
correct.
It's about what you're doing now, and it's a good fresh start. And I think everybody's kind of at an equal playing field. And it's like, all right, who's going to take off?
They talk about how everything's division, but I think if you division with laughter, if you can find a joke, and that's what's cool about now too, your joke has to be so fucking good now that people have to come out of depression to laugh at your joke, right? People lost their jobs. People are on unemployment, and unemployment. Some people say unemployment's cool, and I get it, and I think it's a really good program for like people that are in need, right? But when you're on unemployment, you kind of don't have a lot of hope, right?
You're saying people are depressed right now.
I think people are more depressed right now than ever, right? Especially with politics, they got to hear that shit all day. They got to hear that nobody has, they're not making enough money to have their hobbies, or you know, like drinking is a real problem right now and stuff like that. And I think your jokes have to be so good now that if you can pull people out of depression, like right now, it's so good to be in stand-up.
They at least have to be more meaningful or something. You know what I mean? Like something that people care about to listen to. Because I think, people don't care as much about trivial things as they used to.
Yeah. And I don't even know if it's meaningful, too. I think it's just like it has to be a little goofy, too.
Right.
Something. It could be a little goofy. It could be like just something you kind of think about.
Something that they haven't heard of or something. Like it's like,
Like almost like a topic. Like I was writing this bit, like public pools. It kind of brings you back. You're like, I went to a public pool.
That brings me back because, I think that, like we were talking about being racist and being offensive and shit.
Yeah.
It sucks that you feel like you can't talk about you're like what you went through as a child freely. You know what I mean? Like, because I had that past too, where I played basketball my whole childhood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's tough.
So, as a white guy,
it's tough.
I know I'm Puerto Rican, but I don't look very Puerto Rican. So like, so you know, you're an outcast. Like, even though we are two white guys, we have grown up in situations where we have been an outcast. You know, in certain situations.
100%.
And I think that we should be able to talk about our different experiences with different types of. You know, people like colors or religions. You know, I grew up around a lot of black people. He grew up around a lot of Mexicans. We should be able to talk about our experiences as two white boys, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. That's the whole point of like, I think a lot of podcasts are getting into this, and I don't really like to get into the like aspects because the thought process that I have is like, I'm just going to say whatever I want to say. And it's like, and I'm not even going to think about like, oh, I can't do something because I'm this. I've never even thought about that.
You don't think about that?
I don't think about that.
I hate that I have to think about that. But
I don't think about that, because if I start thinking about that, I'm like, I'm not living my best life, right? I'm not pushing forward. I'm not like, because I'm not ever even thinking about the aspects of like race or gender or any of these things. I don't even think about that stuff. It's like, if you're cool, I'm cool. You know, like if you want to hang, it's all about the hang. It's all about the fun. And what makes me laugh is what I hope would make you laugh. So it could be an Asperger's thing, but,
do you have Asperger's?
No, but who knows? You know, it could be like, I just don't care about feelings
that
much.
He's not ready to admit it yet.
Maybe I'm not ready. I'm dyslexic. So, you know, I could have forgot it, but yeah, it's kind of like, I just don't like to get into like, that's a politics thing. Say, like, if you have to think about those things, it's a political thing, right? Yeah. And I don't even like politics. So it's like, I can't even get into that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And when I talk about, because I do like to talk about race.
And that's fine.
That's if I could. I don't talk about race, but I wish I, you know what I mean? If like we could just talk about whatever we wanted to, I would delve a lot into race because that's like a lot of my past, whatever.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's
it wouldn't be
a political thing. It would be more like a personal experience thing. You know what I mean?
Correct.
That's all I want. I just want to talk about my personal experiences.
And the thing is, it's just like Doug Stanhope was talking about this. He was saying that he's got to work out at a time like now, he's got to work out his material and make sure it's 100% when he's going into it. So if you put your 100, if you do like a half-ass effort and try to work out your bit, and it's about something maybe controversial or something like that, you're taking that risk when you don't have to, right? So if it's 100%, you're like, if that offends you and it's 100%, then, you know, there's nothing I can do about it, right? That's just what I am. If I'm a real comedian, I'm a real comedian. If I'm not a real comedian, then I'm not a real comedian.
To me, that's a very healthy way of looking at comedy, but also, gosh, that's a hard, because for me, every joke that I write, like you said, could be considered half-assed because I would probably write it different if I wasn't worried about anybody's opinion. But, you know, post-quarantine, I'm trying to get that. I'm like, hey, audience, if you're at a comedy show, buckle up because
it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Right. I'm ready to say that's all you got to think. I want to say, and you should be able to listen.
You don't even have to say that. You don't even say, I don't, I'm going to say what I want to say. You just do your jokes.
Yeah. Like, and then just get off. That's what I'm working on. And I need to learn it better. And
that's
like,
great.
Douche Dad, you know, he's good at, you know, he's obviously at a better.
I have a lot of stuff to lose too. Do you understand that? So like, but I, you know, I don't go by my real name. I don't know.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But like, I have a lot of stuff to lose. Like I go to college, I'm going to graduate college and stuff like that. And I have to think about it like that too. Like I was thinking about, that's why I kind of quit comedy for a little bit. I stopped going to shows and I was like, if I say something now and I lose everything for my kid and my wife, you know, like,
Which you could.
You can get fired from your job. You know, you got to change your name, all address. But I'm like, I'm not that person. I'm not that person that's like, I'm not even going out there to offend people.
Like,
I'm
not a bad person. You know,
I'm not a bad person. Exactly.
And that's why I got in trouble starting comedy, because I started it saying, hey, I can say whatever the fuck I want and I'm not a bad person, so they should know that. But people don't know that. So when I said something that triggered them, they don't know me. They don't know that I'm a good person. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or that I am really not a racist or a piece of shit. You know what I mean? So,
and it's not a bad thing to stay in your lane.
Yeah,
a little bit.
It's like, I don't know my lane. You know, I don't know.
Exactly.
It's tough navigating comedy.
100%. But your lane could be like where you grew up and like what your interests are. So, like, if you do monster jokes, dude, I think I would die. I would love that more than anything.
I mean, I feel you, but also, like we were talking about before the podcast, he's got 10 minutes of hunting jokes.
Ooh, I got 45 minutes of hunting jokes.
Yeah, exactly. And I've got jokes on the 12th player on the bench on the Chicago Bulls. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. You can't just say whatever you want. I don't know.
To get the crowd. And it depends on what crowd you're bringing too. Because like, if you're doing your podcast, like what's your podcast name that you're doing on YouTube?
The No Name. But we have no name. It's so bare. It's the opposite of this podcast.
It's called the No Name Podcast?
It's like, no, we literally have no name.
Well, what's your name on YouTube that you're doing it through?
Claire Hawley.
Oh, Claire Hawley. Okay.
Literally her name.
We'll put a link to that. We'll bleep out all the stuff that we said. We'll put a link to it.
If you YouTube Claire Hawley, you'll find it.
Yeah. Exactly. So if you look at that and then, you know, I don't even know my target. But, if you get an audience from that, you could do your basketball jokes because you're going to talk about it on your podcast, right?
Right.
So that's the whole thing. It's like your lane could be funny jokes, right? And you can do funny jokes and topic jokes and political jokes or whatever. But you'll eventually figure out, like, hey, if I'm doing this material, like, I want to do a show for just fly fishermen.
Yeah, right? I feel you on that. Yeah.
I just want to do a show for just fly fishermen that get what I'm talking about. That's the goal, right? If doing this open mic at the dive bar in Las Vegas, where I'm not relatable to anyone and nobody understands the technical aspects of like fly fishing or like, you know, knives or whatever, is like where I got to go, then I'll just try my best. And if I don't get there, then I'm just going to have to try something else somewhere else. Right. So I just look at things that, like, when I'm listening to my podcast last night, they're like, oh, that's kind of narcissistic. And you're like, no, it's not narcissistic to like something that I do. if it makes me laugh and it makes me happy, then that's what I want to do. And like, and if I'm still doing and trying my hardest, that's the whole goal, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm still working my job, I'm still doing my schoolwork, it's like, then...
And hey, guess what? It's okay to be narcissistic, too.
But 100%.
Guess what? A bunch of people that are afraid to say their opinions or ever on stage, a bunch of people that will never, ever get on stage and say an opinion, will go and tell you know, what they think about you and how you are and say you're narcissistic. Well, guess what? This motherfucker has been on stage and has risked telling his opinion. So
exactly,
you should be
every billionaire is a narcissist, right?
Yeah, I agree. Any successful person, you kind of have to believe in yourself. Yes, we are self-deprecating. Yes, we have dealt with things in the past and are emotional and all that shit. But
yeah,
we also are confident and feel like our voice should be heard. You know what I mean?
And this is coming from the special needs brother of the DeFrancos.
Yeah, and I hate to talk. You know what I mean? I hate to talk. I have panic attacks and everything.
Uh-huh.
But if you think you're cool, you're cooler than me, you're not. Like, I see, that's what I have in me.
Is that
what's
going on stage? I always wondered. So I watch you every single time because I like you and I like what you do, because you have really good just bits, right? You don't really do you tell a lot of stories.
I like to. I've been going more. I've been trying, but like, yeah, you're right.
You have good bits.
I have short, you know.
So I don't know if you do this anymore, because I watched you the other night and you still kind of like shake a little bit.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was part of the act. Is that not part of the act, or it is part of the act?
I definitely have problems standing from a crowd.
Okay.
That's not why I got into comedy. It's not to entertain people in front of a crowd.
we might need to assess.
Isn't that weird?
It's kind of weird, but I like that.
No, okay, I like to write. I like to, you know what I mean?
I like that.
I like to be funny.
That's huge. Writing is huge.
Writing is how I got into it. So the stage part is not something that was natural to me. So when I got into comedy, yes, I was extremely nervous. You know what I mean? And I just said, hey, I'm going to lean into this a little bit. You know what I mean? Instead of trying to act like I'm super confident and it coming off as fake, I think it would come off as more real if I leaned into the other side and was extremely nervous. And you know what I mean? I think that would come off as more real. And I think it got laughs when I first started. I guess I lean into it still a little bit, but I'm not as nervous.
That's good. No, that's good, because it's like the Larry Cable guy's schizophrenia, dude. You're up there, dude. You're hitting it hard, bro. I love it. No. So he would go up and you'd see him kind of like almost shake the mic, and you could kind of tell if you were a comic, you're like, this is kind of an act, but I like this. This is different than what I'm seeing. This other dude just sitting on the fucking chair. I hate that.
Yeah.
If you're a damn good comic, if you're like the best comic out there, you can sit on the chair, but if you're not,
oh, comics hate them.
Oh, it's the stand up. Like, that's the whole part of the fucking thing.
And you're only up there 5 minutes normally.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, come on, man. Like, do some acts out. I like a little acts out.
I like that.
But
that's not my lane. But
it is your lane, because you're acting out like how you're feeling, and then you're grabbing that person. You're looking at that person, and you're like, what's going on with it? Wait, he has good material behind this too.
Right, right.
So that's huge.
Yeah, that's kind of like how I catch him. Is like, who's this panic attack guy? And then yes, I do like to hopefully rely on my material after that.
Yeah, and that's how you grab him, and that's good. And there's nothing wrong with that. Everyone that starts with a little act, you know, depends on if it's good act. You're dressed like an old lady. I don't know how I feel about that, but
right, like, and that's the thing. I'm not. You know, it's not like I'm portraying to be like a Nazi or something that I'm not. I am a Nazi, by the way. But
I'll bleep that out. But go on.
But I am trying. It is me. You know what I mean? I am nervous. And maybe when I get like a little bit better, that will even more go away. But it's not like something that I'm just like totally acting.
Exactly. And it probably helps you even to get that out. It probably helps you too.
It's cool because yeah, I can just be as nervous if I throw up on stage as part of my act. You know what I mean? Like, I'm having this panic.
That's cool.
I'm having this panic attack, and it's not like I have to act like I'm Kevin Hart. You know what I mean? With all the confidence in the world, because I think that's a lot of comics lean toward that, where they're like, I'm going to portray this confident person that I'm not. Mm-hmm. I just lean the other way,
and that's fine. Yeah. And that is a different way to grab attention. I like that. I like a different way. Yeah, I like that. I'm trying to work on right now is laughing at my own jokes on stage. Even if people don't laugh, I want to laugh at it because I think it's funny.
Like a Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon. I would say I like Chris D'Elia. I think he's got a good little thing going. He got in trouble, but who cares? Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
It's a weird thing to say in 2020.
I don't give a fuck, dude. I read some of the evidence.
That's true.
And I will 100% open for you. If you book me, I will 100%.
Look, Chris, I took your spot, dude. I'm the long hair comedian now, bro.
Dude, he's great. I love it. Bill Cosby, I will open for you in prison. Just to give me some shows.
Man. Hey, if you look at the evidence, there's not much there.
But whatever. In Bill Cosby's case, yes, there is a lot of evidence.
I'm sorry.
Chris D'Elia, there is the evidence that...
I was talking about Chris
D'Elia. Yeah, Chris D'Elia. Well, yeah, I saw the messages after what the other people posted, and it was a very like, oh wait, you lied about your age? Okay, all right. Well, I guess I can't.
I'll see you later.
I can't do anything about this.
I'll see you next year.
He can just chill for a little while.
Which is kind of creepy, but it's not.
Exactly. He's just I don't really look at people for their faults, man. If it's an earlier fault in life, then I'm like, well, can't really judge it unless it's real bad. It's real bad.
You can't rape and pillage.
No, you cannot.
But if you haven't done that.
If you haven't done that, I have to maybe forgive you.
Even murder. There are certain justifications for certain murders. I'm sorry.
Domestic violence, yeah.
Oh shit!
Right, like if a girl like kills somebody that was domestic violence, right? Then I feel like that's justifiable.
I mean, there's justifiable. Yes, there's things.
Right. So like if a girl,
you know,
you were thinking of like, oh man, I'm gonna domestic violence you and kill you. I'm thinking of like if somebody's getting like abused, then you kill your abuser.
Right.
That makes sense. Yes. I'm okay with that.
Thank you for clarifying that.
100%.
But yes, exactly. There's no justifiable for.
Anything where it's like
have you ever raped somebody
Hitler, but no, that's the only person you can, but like that's the thing, it's like
if you rape Hitler,
yeah, that's fine.
I thought you meant
that's
Hitler
justifiable. No,
I'm like, all right,
if you go in on him, you know, that is fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, if you're like in Little Nicky, I don't know if you like
the Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah,
watched.
They like, but they would rape.
Yeah,
Hitler. 100%. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay,
that's cool. But like, just fine. I just need to forgive people because I'm like, people are so like complicated and so like complicated world now. It's like, and if I get mad at you, I'm gonna have to get mad at everyone.
Exactly, and you know you're a douchebag.
I'm
obviously
a biggest douchebag.
I know I'm a douchebag.
I'm extremely unlikable.
So it's like, hey, if I want to talk shit,
I'm gonna have to
let you talk shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I need to stop slapping my girl's ass in public. I can't.
And if he's slapping his girl's ass in public, that means I can do certain things too, and that's cool. Like,
exactly.
Why would I not want to be able to slap my girl's ass?
We gotta keep it wild. Literally, that's the whole goal of just, man, we're at hour 30. We need to wrap this guy up. That's the whole point. Let's get one more topic going and then we'll just cut it off. What topic did you want to bring to the table? Is there a topic you were thinking about?
Let's see. What are we talking about? We talked about comedy. We talked about Ford Rangers.
That's huge. That's going to be a good cut. Action figures are great. I like that.
Dope. I think we covered it all, but what else do you think?
So I just had a birthday. That's kind of cool. So I'm 25 now. I had a party. It was great.
Oh,
great,
that was your party. See, that's funny because I thought that he had like a happy birthday art. You know what it was?
Yeah, a little happy birthday like arch kind of thing.
You hang up happy birthday.
And it was spelled wrong.
Right, but I thought it was for a child.
No.
But I guess it was for an
adult. It was for an adult. And I've come with my age now. I've come with my age that, like, 25, like, I had my friends over. I drank, like, 4 beers, and I'm like, hey, guys, I think we're going to call it. Because, obviously, there's nothing to do with COVID. And at the same time, I'm like, man, I just kind of want to – I want to chill.
Are you feeling the transition from being a child to being a full-grown adult right now?
The problem with that is I have felt being a full-grown adult since I was 19 and had a kid.
When you have a child, you're
like stressed all of the time because you're like, I have to make money. I have to go to school so I make more money so he can go to school.
That's for sure.
That's the biggest. It's a weird thing. It's a huge driver.
For sure, though, like you were more mature at 19 than I am right now.
But that was a forced maturity. Right?
I still tried to keep my
wildness about me. I still tried to be like, I've never been like throwing parties or anything, but I'm like, I like say like wild shit sometimes, and it's like, or I'll do wild shit like survival things.
Yeah.
And that's an issue too. I almost died twice basically doing survival shit.
Right. Which is young people shit.
That's young people shit. Yeah.
Whether you're an adult and mature and whatever, but yeah. You're still, in your 20s.
Correct. So that's the thing. I've grown up, but I haven't grown up a little bit in the sense. So that's kind of like being 25 now. I was kind of looking at it like I'm graduating soon. I'm looking at buying a comedy club because
Hey, this is my best friend.
Yeah, we'll bring you up to the comedy condo. But yeah, there's a club up in Montana that I really like. It's a bar. And it has a hotel attached to it, like 2-bedroom hotel, right? Mm-hmm. Super small. And I'm like, man, maybe I should, because because once COVID kind of slows down and stuff like that, and there's not a lot of cases up there, it would be just a good comedy place.
Well, the comedy is branching outside of LA now, right?
So yes,
that's kind of the thing. Exactly. I think it's coming. I think that's a good thing. Like now, you can just. Comedy's everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I would say it's booming in the Midwest and in the South. I think it's better.
Whatever.
I like that too. That's really cool. I think it's, you get more.
It shouldn't just be New York and LA. You know what I mean? Hipster vibes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But they used to get more tourists. But now, people were. I think those people that are actually going to comedy shows in the South and in the Midwest are actual fans. When you would go to like comics, are those actual fans? I mean, they're fans of comedy.
They're fans of the vibe and the culture, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. They want to be a comedian. You know what I mean? They're into the scene.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they have cool ass jackets, and that's it. That's all they got going for them.
Which is probably why we wanted to get in comedy too, but hey, now we're into it.
Yeah, now we're into it, right? So I think those kind of divey places, but that can get a good crowd, and especially the place I want to do it. It's in Bozeman. And Bozeman, I always look at comedy crowds. So you want a comedy crowd that's liberal, but kind of conservative liberals.
Somebody, they'll give you a little leeway.
Leeway, right? So this is a huge thing. So you want people that are on social issues, they're open and you can kind of talk about anything, but you don't want too much where they get offended.
Conservatives don't
really get offended very often.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about their issues, right? If they're
like political issues,
yeah. That's when they get offended. But if you're just making jokes, right? They don't get offended.
Yeah,
but
it's weird. It's a different kind of offend. Different offended.
They're basically the people in this town are the original liberal. So that's kind of cool. I like that. Right.
Yeah, it's a weird town. Yeah, it's an interesting vibe we have in Vegas.
In Vegas,
or are you talking?
I'm talking Bozeman. I'm talking about Bozeman.
Definitely.
What do you think the crowd is in Vegas? The shows I've been doing are just drunk people. That's all they are.
That's such a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's such a good question because if you go to dive bars, you're playing for Nazis, I guess. But are you?
I'm gonna bleep that out. Yeah, because I don't even know.
Right.
I don't even know who we're playing for in the dive bar. Other comedians. That's pretty much it.
No, that's true. Yeah, no, it's.
But like, Vegas, let's say you go.
Weird. It's not like,
so
it's
weird.
It's not like we go. First of all, Vegas, we do comedy open mics at bars. I don't know. I guess it's like that everywhere. Everywhere is bars, but it's not like we go to like a hippie crowd and just do it to a bunch of 25-year-olds.
Have you ever done a club out here?
Yeah, I did a LA comedy club.
And what was the crowd like there?
It was Jocelyn's show, so it was like
that's a great show.
It was just like a different, you know, it was a cool crowd. I had a lot of my friends come out.
That's great.
Yeah, but no, it was conservative and liberal, like both. It's weird.
And that's what you want. You want that mix, because it's just, and as long as everybody's happy, it's good. It's going to be a good show. Especially I've never done a club out here, so I've only done bars. So I'm really pushing hard to do a club out here now that the clubs are opening.
The club would be dope, because then people laugh at you. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
awesome.
It's crazy. Like when you actually get an attentive, you know what I mean? I'm not like, I haven't done a whole lot of shows in front of a lot of cool, you know, I haven't done a lot of cool shows, but I've done about like 5 shows that are real quality shows that the crowd's paying attention to you, and it's so much easier to get a fucking laugh. It's crazy. It's like,
feels,
oh yeah,
so good,
funny.
Doesn't it? It's like,
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. Because it's weird. It's weird when you go through the whole year doing comedy, not getting any laughs, and then you finally get a show.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh yeah, that's why I practice. That's why I'm up here, and people can't do what I do. But you don't feel that all the time. You know?
No,
it's fucking weird.
That's why the open mics are good for just, you know, learning your timing, learning your, you know, your punchlines, and just getting a good set together. And then you go do those shows, and then you get good at crowd work while you have a good show. Then you bring it back to the open mic, and you're good at crowd work. And then that's what kills at open mics.
And you need those shows to just remind yourself, like, oh, this is what I'm doing. You know,
100%.
Sometimes.
You get real depressed.
Backstop's great for that, Boulder City, tomorrow. But, you know.
Yeah, come to Boulder City, and we'll hang, and we'll have a good time.
That's a great – that's like an in-between. Like, that's like a club vibe with, like, a bar vibe. And, yeah, no, you feel like a comedian when you're at Backstop. So.
It's great, yeah. The host, Manny, is the best, dude. He's the best.
Yeah. He didn't even know me, and he put me up, so that's cool.
Exactly. He's the best, dude. And, yeah, he knows comics.
Yeah, he knew I was a comic.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, and more shows will be happening. We'll try to book some shows out here. I think I'm going to buy some sound equipment. I'm just do it my fucking self.
Hell yeah. Dude.
Because there's nothing wrong with it.
He's got scratch.
I've got some chicken scratch, and...
You got hobbies.
I got hobbies, and it's not too expensive to really get into it. It's only like $1,300 to buy like really nice system. So
that's true. We act like there's only one guy that can do it in town.
Exactly. Well, there's one guy that can actually like fucking control it, because I got to learn how to do a mixer and shit. That's the technical side. But I can ask some buddies to do that. But this is the Douche Dad Podcast. Go ahead and plug whatever you got to plug.
Yo, this is your boy, it's Anthony Vickerson. Shout me out on all the streams and all the podcasts and all the YouTubes. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything, Anthony Vickerson.
And I am the douche_dad on Instagram, Douche Dad on YouTube, Douche Dad Podcast now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. Basically, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, listen to it. It's actually doing really well compared to like all my other platforms, which is kind of crazy. I'm getting a lot of downloads, so really hit up there. Anthony and I are available for backyard shows. We will do a backyard show if you want to book it.
All right, I will.
You'll do it.
Cool.
Because it's just, why not? Backyard shows, basement shows, but... If you got to bring the crowd, it's got to be like at least 20 people.
Yeah, we don't do no bringer shows.
Well, you know, I'll do a bringer show.
Yeah. We'll do whatever
we want. So don't be afraid to reach out and book us for shows. And we'll if you reach out to both of us, I'll drive us to any show. Okay, so if you reach out, depending on how far it is, if it's in Maine, I don't think we're gonna do it. But unless it's some money. Unless there's some money involved.
Yeah, dude.
But let's just talk about states. Utah, Arizona, California, Oregon.
I like that.
Wyoming or Montana. Those are the states that we can drive to, that I can drive to, and we can do shows at.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you guys want to book us for shows, don't be afraid to. This has been the Douchehead Podcast. I'm going to cut this Twitch off because nobody cares.